like 100-meter hurdles. How many of you know what you call 110-meter hurdles? How many of you know hurdles? Some of you don't know hurdles because you're not athletic or you don't pay attention to that. When you run 100 meter, you just run straight like, what's the name of that? Boats, you know, Carl Lewis. They just run fastest. But then there's this one they call 110 meters that you run with barriers placed regularly on your way. And then the name of the game is not to avoid the barrier, it's to go over the barrier and not to knock it down. So I want us to do some things that will help us to remove the barrier so that we can not just look at our race and say, oh, another barrier, let me slow down. But how do I surmount? And one of the barriers that will come up, many of them are relational. Like Prof was saying, his colleague was saying, people are terrible. So people are not terrible just for being terrible sake. Something is making them to be, something is terrifying them to make them terrible. Is that a good grammar? Okay, something is terribilizing them. To make them terrible. You just don't start running for not running for running sake. Okay, all right. So let's talk about some things that will hinder us this year that could make us to start struggling and I want to come right down to it. Families, we live in families, don't we? We live as people. Bible says it's not good for the man or the woman to be alone, right? Right? So you can't live in isolation. But like Paul said again, people can be a barrier. But if you see it as a barrier to knock you down, it won't pay you. See that something you can surmount over and then walk with them. Amen. Is that all right? So let's look at some relational barriers that will come up that will bother you. So of course, we have some carryover from next year. Last year is still there. For instance, you're not married yet. For instance, you're a single parent. For instance, you're a widow. For instance, you're married. For instance, you are the husband. For instance, you are the wife. For instance, your wife is not around. For instance, your wife is also not around. These are life issues that we must know how to negotiate them. And then go over this order and live life well. Nobody runs through life without orders. Tell somebody beside you. Ask me, if you don't have any orders in life, you are not here. Somebody said, let me just go abroad. There are more hurdles abroad that you have to sign. Papers a lot. You know, recently, something happened. Somebody had to be buried abroad. And I was surprised by how much to pay. You know, in Nigeria, when somebody dies, you are thinking of, what are we going to do? Are we going to buy a cow now? How are we going to bury? And just to put somebody officially buried is £5,000 abroad. So I turned to my wife. I said, either way, burial is expensive. But at least in Nigeria, I'm a party. I'm a Jew. No party at all. 5,000. That's cheaper. That's almost the cheapest. 4,900 thereabout. I said, eh? And if you are going to say, you're going to fly your body, if you die abroad, they fly you to Nigeria, it's £20,000. Just to sit down inside plane. As a corpse. Hallelujah. Let's start. When you eat my mind, you start from the scratch. Let's start with those ones that are feeling lonely, that are down. And will that your loneliness still be a barrier this year? Or you're going to go past it? By the way, let's be honest here. Life gives us orders. Some orders we don't plan for, but they are there. Jesus went to Samaria. He passed through Samaria, and he got to a particular well at a town called Sychar. And a woman came who had been with 5 husbands before, and Jesus specifically went to meet her because he's a life lifter. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. He's a life lifter. Singled her out. Staying with a man she didn't like to stay with, just bearing, not even bearing his name. And Jesus said, I want to have you to have abundance of life. You can have living water. So this morning, let me talk to those ones of us over here. Let's just get calm, cool. Let's talk to those of us who are unmarried yet, and those of us who are either without a spouse. How are you going to handle this year? Let's go to our Bible. Chapter 7, 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Honestly, sometimes you feel like when you are not married or when you are a widow or a single parent, sometimes you feel like as if, man, life has come to an end, I'm alone. It sounds like that. But sometimes you need to peep into the life of those who are married and see what they face. You hear me? Something that Paul recommended for us, I want us to take a look at it. 1 Corinthians 7. Let's start from them, then we'll come to the other big stuff over there. By the way, look at verse 7. For I wish that all men were even as I myself, but each one adds his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. Now, can we read this verse in NLT? Maybe, can make it clearer. But I wish everyone were single, just as I am. Oh, Paul was recommending singleness. Hello? Some people are married will say, I think I'm agreeing with that now. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. So Paul said, I'm not struggling with that. So you need to celebrate that your singleness. You don't keep on. You're single. So don't. I'm not single. I'm single. If I'm not single, I will have. Do what you need to do with your life, with or without being single. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Amen. What will you do if you are God or Almighty sending your son to the earth, and there was no room in the hospital to accommodate your child, and the parents couldn't find a hotel room? I will send security to clear the hotel out. If I were God, like one time, Obasanjo wanted to eat amala when he was the president. He said, I like that amala, dear. They said, don't worry, we'll arrange it. They said, let's go. It's already arranged. He got down there. There was nobody there to eat amala with him except him alone. They have stopped everybody else from coming to eat amala because Obasanjo, the president, is coming. So the man said, it must occur here. And the king, amala, and he won't catch up. And the president, go riba. You are, when you came to become president, you are a single, solitary life. Nobody else. Hello? So really, when you get big, you become single. I'm just joking. An American president, Richard Nixon, was tired of... You see, when you become... People are big like that, you are caged. You know, prof, they put security... So this Richard Nixon said... I'm tired of this just being lonely. Yeah, I'm tired of just being single. So he called one of his guys. His name was Charles Carlson. He said, I want to go for a concert. Don't let anybody know. Can we arrange private? I just want to visit that concert. So he colluded with Charles Carlson, and then they went for that concert. Nobody knew. He disguised himself. So what can he pay? President Osile. What is the White House? Where is he disappeared to? Guru. They were everywhere. When they discover he was in that place, you know what he did? They surrounded the place. They found the president and grabbed him. Now let's go. Let's go. Carry on. Let's go. They said, Charles Carson, don't ever let him out of the cage again. Cage. That's the exact word they use. So sometimes you think you are feeling lonely. But you know what Paul recommend for us? That if you're lonely, if you're single, if you're not married, or you are a widow, let's start with the widow first. Look at chapter 7. Let's go to verse toward the end, verse 39. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she's free to marry anyone she wishes. But only if he loves the Lord. That's what NLT says. That the person you are going to marry, if you're a widow, you're thinking of getting married, you should marry somebody who loves the Lord, or else because you have to have a lot of trouble. If he loves Allah and you love the Lord, there'll be trouble. If he loves Buddha and you love the Lord, there'll be trouble. So a wife is bound to a husband, but look at next verse. In my own opinion, this is opinion, it would be better for her to stay single, and I think I'm giving you counsel from God's Spirit when I say this. You know, everybody, are we here? So if you widow, and sometimes you can just be at peace to just Because you have to start negotiating. I got a friend years ago who got married. Her husband died. She got two kids. They married to this person that was having two or three kids. She went literally through hell because she had to negotiate all that. It was difficult. She sent her children abroad. Because when you are getting married to somebody, you're supposed to be fresh. No page already occupied. But when you are a widow, it can be difficult. But there's a reason why you should marry if you're a widow. Let's go with verse 8 of that same chapter 7. This is good for us. Verse 8. But I said to thee, to those who are, give us an, okay. So I said to those who are, okay, go back. Okay. So I said to those who are not married and to widows. So he's putting those who are not married and those who are widows together now. It's better to stay unmarried, just as I am. But there's a caveat, next verse. But if they can't control themselves or sexually, let's go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with lust. Hello. 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 Thank you. So he's saying that, okay, if you are not sexually pushy and kind of a thing, you're not. Now, Paul said sexuality is a gift. Paul didn't have sexuality as a gift. You know why I'm laughing? Many of us have the gift. We don't have the gift. You know, people that, like Paul, they didn't have sexual gift. They will see a woman, they just won't. They don't see a woman. But some of us see women, right? Or some of us see men. So I'm just giving some counsel to help you throughout the hurdles you can jump. If you have this hurdle that you are tortured every night, you're just bothered, kind of thing, where they can marry you.
Somebody said, so we married because of sex.
Yes. Paul recommended it.
Huh?
Let's read some other Bible. Can we read? Message Bible, this verse. If they can manage their desire and emotions, they should by all means go ahead and get married. The difficulties of marriage are preferable by far to a sexually tortured life as a single. Is that clear enough? But it's not clear. And can't you hear?
You know, it's just as simple as that.
Is that all right? Is that clear? Beautiful. So that's a pastor here. It's more than, you know, that's why I'm a pastor. I like to be practical. Somebody talk in the air and give, you know, you cannot have that kind of a thing. That's not really pure motive. Da, 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 da. How many of us live by pure motive all the time? So when you are hungry, you are hungry. Am I right? You see, sometimes when hunger catches you, all senses leave. So God said, like Professor Ali told us, Professor Ali said, when a man is sexually satisfied, he'll be looking for that woman. But when a dog is hungry, every other food looks good. But let's leave that alone. So do you understand that? Is it clear? Pastor, now can I plead with you? Please, you singles and those who are widows, don't throw yourself around. A lot of these men that want to do things with you, one lady was telling us recently, she wanted to marry somebody, she's a widow. They said, send your nude picture on phone. You know what kinds of things happen on the phone now? Do all kinds of things you do on the phone. My problem is this with some of these things. You don't understand the psychology of men. When you start throwing yourself like that to men, they get satisfied already and they drop you. Let me explain that. You see, can I be honest here today? You see, if you are not bound to a man and you're not married to the man, when the man sleeps with you, he gets up, he thinks, I've had my fill, let me go somewhere else. But when there's a certificate of marriage on him, it's far better. Now, a lot of these people today, they don't really settle down with anybody. They just will chat up with you, talk with you, send you pictures, and have all kinds of sex things. Is that what we call it now? Sex texts and kind of a thing. And at the end of the day, you just be dropped. And the guy can walk away, but you don't walk away easily. Women don't walk away easily like that. Women go through all the hassles, you know, because now, if a man sleeps with a woman, you can get up and do like this, like chicken, kokore, no kokore. Just do like that. It's got no effect, but the lady gets pregnant, starts having children, starts struggling with that all her life. Are you hearing me? So we as women should be very careful. I'm not just sending us, send me your new picture, send me your la 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 la, telling, I ain't sending nothing, block their number. If you want to marry me, you take me to the altar and you say, I do, then I know you are done for. Is that all right? Is that all right? Okay, let's come to the married. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the hurdles in the married life. This year, I want you to just jump over the hurdles. Let's look at the first hurdles in married life. In-laws and relatives. Write it down. One of the hurdles you must learn to jump over is not those who are, you are married to particularly, it's the brothers, sisters, mama, auntie, uncle, da-da-da-da-da. You don't know what? I've been to a wedding before. They will say, these people are married, don't interfere with their lives. I just laughed. Even by saying that, you're already interfering in their lives. Are you hearing me? You don't marry a single person, you marry the family.
Hello.
When I married my wife, she was the only one, there are two of them from the family. So I thought that, man, my own house, we were dozens. Both alive and dead can form a village. There were six wives or seven wives. There, give me the count. Six, thank you. My brother, my sisters, I don't know. Some of them, I don't know them. We are all over the place. One of them came, you saw him, my brother. That's my own mother. Come on, the last one. But so many. So I thought it was only two with their mother. And then I came to see there are aunties and no. Can you come? Yeah, can you come? Yeah, can you come? Yeah, can you come? They had to come to our house. And I was an introvert. In fact, we went for one barrier. And somebody at Jebu, and the person said, "Hey, tear, damn him. Like, who will buy? Hey, damn him, Abby. But what's he laying? What can we buy? You know, because I don't get to know people. I know, so forgive me in church. You know, that's my disability as a pastor. I wish I can get it better. I can be looking at you. Next time I see you, I'll just be looking. Danny, hey, who are you? Remember church? I'm happy, you know. So when I'm smiling, I don't know anything. Just educate me. Pastor, I come to your church. Remember, I know you don't remember. It's your disability. And I'm okay with that. Is that all right? Forgive me for that one before we start. Pastor, I continue. And sometimes when my mother-in-law was staying with us, I wake up in the morning, and I've already gone out to the park. I remember, me must take my mom. Then I go back. Mama, is that all right? So we have all kinds of things like that, and you must know how to negotiate them. Maybe your sisters, your husband's sister, just come in, jawole, or come in, just calm down. You know, it's one-on-one. That's the way it has been all along. Are you hearing me? So in-laws will come in, relatives will come in. The best you can do is don't go just back. You will have peace. You won't have hypertension. Mama, Emma, be no. And if you want to go away, you won't go from Kino Sele, Babu, everywhere. And if you want to go away, you might be no more. And if you want to go away, you might be no more. You might be no more. Don't start saying things that put you in trouble. Are you hearing me? This year, let's jump that hurdle. And you guys, stop being dumb. Your relatives come to the house, they start messing up the house. Your wife, you see, they say something. Don't blame men. Men inherited silence from Adam. You know, in the garden, the devil came and he was saying, wait. And then Adam was there. Who come with me? The one said, it's good for you. She said, you sure? She took it. Adam was still looking. And then the woman took the fruit. Adam was still looking. And then she ate. He was still looking. And he said, that, yeah. Adam just swallow it. Now see any word? It was just there. It's not somewhere in the garden or in the ground. No, it was there. Okay, we saw wrong. Who would be here now? It used to be a man standing there like from Dundee United. You know, stand up to your mom, to your sister, and say, don't mess up our house here. My wife and I, we are trying to keep this house together. You won't say that. You rather hide behind your wife. There, well, face one. Family learning now. Well, your baby face one, Joe. You know. Just say, mom, please relax. I know things are difficult, I know, but please don't blame my wife for it. You go a long way. Can you clap your hands to Jesus, somebody? Just relax. Is that all right? You have peace at home because, man, pastor, I won't say anything. You be the one to stay with your wife and you'll be going through trouble. Your mommy will have gone. Your sister will have gone and your house is burning. So put out the fire by telling your mom, mommy, fara balede. Your woman say, wala. How can it be wala? Never worry. You, in this house, we walk by faith, not by sight. Is that all right? So, relatives, all those things like that, sister will come in, and everybody has somebody funny in their family. Can I see your answer if you don't have any? If all your family members are all okay, they are all Holy Ghost, they are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are your relatives. Can I see your hands up? When I experienced recently, I won't go further than that with a family member. I mean, not to my father. I said, just keep quiet. Let's love the Lord. Let's just walk on with the Lord. And we didn't say anything about it. Well, we are both grown up now. Now, usually, if you are just starting out at the beginning, I will say something to help you today. Maybe this year, this will help you this year. See, when you just made concrete, when you are doing house and you are doing concrete, the first 24 hours, you must not step on it. Well, if you do, it will make a permanent mark on it. But by third day, when you come there, there will be no mark on it anymore. They can come and jump up and down there, concretize, what you are solid. Now, sometimes at the beginning of your marriage, don't bring too much trouble there. They become part of your system. Now, when you put that foot there, that mark will be there indelibly. So don't try and bring too many people around you. Family, ba, Eliafa, wala, Eliafa, wala. Keep some secretness around your home. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Sometimes they say, oh my God, I want to bring somebody to come and stay with you. Let me give you. I was a rascal those days. My father had so many children, so he wanted to start disposing them. So I just got married, and I have my wife at home. We had a baby, right? And then one of my father's children on my mother's side. You say it in English, step, not stepmother. Nobody's my mother. It's his wife. I don't call them stepmother. They are my father's wives. English, we step mother. So he came with a letter to my house from the headquarter. And he gave me the letter. I opened it. My daddy said, "What if you're your mind? Come on, do it. My boy, do it." Oh boy, I was a rough guy those days, man. I was nice now. I'm very nice now. It was around 2. What time was it that day? Oh, this is shaking her head. I said, "They gave you a letter." I said, "Just turn back." Oh, Maturi. But I said, my wife said, "It's late." I said, "No. I know I handle my dad. So I sent him back. My father never mentioned it. My father liked me. Everybody else will fight in their house. When it comes to our house, he's a holy man. My wife said, "I've heard news about your daddy. But when it comes to our house, he will eat his amalajeje. He will lie on his bed." One time he wanted to do sacrifice for his house. He wanted to do sacrifice to offer to the grandfather. So he came to my house. What did he have to say? He said, Joshua. That's what they call him, Joshua. Joshua. Baba, me, my first say, etutu. Money, the Lamb of God, Jesus, had paid etutu for everybody. He said, huh? See, finally, he couldn't find him. He said, okay, I want to do Thanksgiving with a goat. My father would go to everybody's house and fight them there, but my own house is only fine because I've drawn the boundary. Hallelujah. You can't be going to your mommy and say, "Yeah, if you sue me, my wife is going to give me trouble." See, you come and help you rule the house now. So stop talking like that to your parents. Your wife may be that bad, but you're just starting out. So you get better. Clap your hands for Jesus. You can't be going to your mom and telling your mom,
"My husband, what would you marry? What are you going to jail? What are you going to do?"
The Bible says, "Follow me. Johnny! Oh, mommy, Kintobi, what did you marry?" You are the one who followed me. So just calm down. I know you don't have enough to eat yet. I don't mind giving my children money now. When I became a father-in-law, my daughter, your attorney, you know, she just called me. So one day she just called me and said that I need some extra money to handle my car. And I sent the money to her. The husband said, "Return the money. Because you're just starting out." I took the money back and I never fought. Just starting out. Later, because they asked me for things. I love to be an everlasting father to my children. Praise God. But you know, you just know how to know your boundary. Is that all right? And I didn't take it for any fight at all. And we're all friends. Praise God. So stop fighting. Tell your neighbor, stop fighting your relatives. I'm mother-in-law. You will live long yourself. You become mother-in-law. So, just relax. Is that all right? Number two, barrier. Number four is family. We're going up like that. Let's go. Number four, what is it? Family and relatives. Number three, children. Children can become a real problem sometimes. Particularly when you are dealing with schools to go to, life to live, clothes to buy. Huh? How many of you gave money for Owodun to buy clothes for children. Can I see your hands up? Can I see your hands up? How many of you women, you are giving enough money? Can I see your hands up? You are giving more than enough money. My wife, don't raise your hand. My wife doesn't know what is in her hands too. Hallelujah. Somebody must be a spender. Somebody must be a saver. Now, please, you cannot be collecting 100,000 naira per month and take your kid to a school where they are paying 500,000 per. That hurdle to borrow loan, I enjoy everybody. What Jake say? I was the servant of loan apps. What school to what? Wanting come on that. And they are not just doing English. Thank you. They can do phone, but oh, phone will still like when it's going for a ballet. Praise the Lord. Some of things you will not have problem with. You should not be drinking away do and be crying out to God for paying 500,000. School on Bowie. Look at our church. A lot of things we don't do. That's why we can do things. We just got all that solar panels, about 18 of them, cost each one of us 75,000 naira. We just bought them before. So you know why we don't do that? I don't do color separation, hand bills, and put myself like this there. Apostle Tunde Amosu. And then do all that thing. And Jack Besisita. I don't do that. I calm down. Huh? What I'm going to do is to help people and strengthen them and teach them, but I'm not going to be doing all those posing and do one giant signboard in town. The glory of the Father God is in the house of Rock Foundation. And then my wife will pose with her heart like this. And then I stand beside with my long chain, Bishop Tunde Amosu. I don't even like the name. It means BTA, Basic Traveling Allowance. I don't want about that. So I just quiet myself, just calm down, praise God. Is that all right? I don't mind giving that money to a single parent to buy rice. I'll get the blessing from God. And just blow that money upon one, somebody collecting all the money. You understand that? So our children, that way. And sometimes a family, you don't have children yet. It can be difficult. It can be really difficult. You never know what that is. Because for a woman, it's tough in Africa not to have children. So you got to negotiate that. And please, I know a pastor in Lagos that when she had this wife, and my time is really gone. My time is really gone. So I have to stop. I did that for service too. We will pay for third service. No. Okay. We'll compensate with food. So this pastor, the wife didn't have baby quite early. And the members of the church will walk up to her and say, what are you going to give our pastor children? Oh, come on. I said, I wish I was the pastor. My younger days. My name was Tom. So what are you doing? Such a woman lie. Oh, that's the but I'm better now. I was just mad. How can you torment pastor's wife like that? Huh? Sometimes you may not have children quickly. You start trying. One of my friends was telling me, was looking for a child desperately. He was abroad. It was difficult. There was this man that was one of those specialists in the UK that was helping people to pregnant and have children. And one of the Arab oil merchants came to ask to look for a baby. And when I heard this story, it really moved me. And this Arab oil merchant came with his wife. And finally, I think she got pregnant. And then the doctor called them in and said, your wife is pregnant. Just like crying. You know what? He has spent several months of money, and everywhere he will go, he will hear, she's sorry. He will hear, sorry. So that same day, he was expecting sorry. Are you hearing me? And that can be a hurdle. You just remember, oh, we don't have a child yet. You'll go to other people's house, you see their children. For instance, I had to battle with that. I have girls. I don't have boys. I didn't care about boys or girls. I'm going to say, a big girl in me. I just neglected them. Because boy and girl, same thing to me. Are you hearing me? You know that it costs more to have girls than to boys. What can I just answer for them? But girls, one wole, you know, it costs more. But I told my wife, I said, I'm going to give them the best available. I have to fight that and keep it off my back. Are you hearing? And I raised a boy in our house. We raised a boy until today, you know, we're all together. But I never bothered. He has a dad, and then I'm also his dad. Hallelujah. And they come around, and I do anything for them. That's the way life is. So the area of children, don't overdo things. Don't let your children suffer, and don't spoil them either. When you are younger like this, husbands usually beat the children, and the wife get angry. So just beat the children, get angry, and be sorry for yourself. And do. But if you don't beat your children, they're going to wake up. Like I was one time in Port Harcourt, there was this boy that was just scattering everywhere. And the father would say, Johnny, I'm telling you, just move now. I said, move! All this phony. Stupidity is in the heart of a child. A rod will drive it out. I don't live in America. I live in Nigeria. Boom. Do you hear me? I remember when Toby came from Ibadan. He said he eat only what? In, you know, that thing they eat, that food. No. Toby, he was eating, what was he eating? Good morning. He won't eat tamala. He won't eat rice. I said, send him to my house. But he came just at the beginning. I said, Toby, huh? I said, eat amala. Mm-mm. I said, if you are by, that's my friend. After he couldn't find good anymore, I said, amala. After the holiday, he said he was eating everything possible. Of you, your children is your CEO in the house. He directs you around.
Mommy, I don't want rice.
We just finished cooking rice.
I don't want rice.
You go to your husband. He said he doesn't want rice. Make him eat it. Children, let's just stop here. Number two, money. I think I give my wife kudos. She never tormented me for money all these 34, 35 years. And this is not asking for money. She did it now, you know. Last week I went with my daughter, and then my daughter spent money beyond measure. And I paid. Because we are in a shop, and I can't deny her. So, and it was not even my radar. So I bought some aftershave for myself. I got my wife said, I want to call. You know, I told myself, Reverend Mrs., instead of me, Reverend, you are holy now. Don't talk like that. But he said, wife, he said, you bought it, mommy, daughter, and daddy. I was feeling funny. Just thinking like that. You know, in my younger days, I have gotten angry. Close your ear now. I just laugh over it now. You know? But you know what? I discover an envelope back of my house clothes. It has some money in it. I'd forgotten it there. So I just felt like, oh, let me give her to buy her own things. The money was forgotten there. I didn't tell her. It was not part of the budget. I took it. I said, dear, hey, use it to buy something.
Oh, thank you. My husband.
Yeah. Please, when it comes to money, somebody is a spender, somebody is a saver. Don't ever be two spenders or two savers. You will kill your family either way. If all you do is save, your family will be drinking garri and have millions. Like one guy who died abroad. He was homeless, living in shanties. And when he died, they find in his bed $75,000. Are you hearing me? He saved too much. Then there is one who spent too much too. What can one take busy learning? While I lay, as we be, as we are, you come home. My husband, your salary is already 5,000. You are bringing 5,000 home. Why won't you steal at work? You will steal now. 5,000. So you need to balance the spending and the saving. Now, can I close like this? This is of money. I have to stop now. We'll continue maybe another time. When it comes to money, you will never have enough. Enough is inside of you, not outside. When I say you don't never have enough, you never have it. When you have 10 million now, what don't want more? The moment you have 10 million, you are thinking of changing your car, changing your house. But what you can do is this: keep making more money. Keep earning, keep learning, keep saving, and keep spending in that order. Keep earning, keep learning, keep saving, keep spending. You get that? Say that one more time. Keep earning, keep learning, keep saving, keep spending. Don't put spending first. Keep earning money. Don't worry, one day you are going to earn enough money to put yourself on, put your wife on holiday. But until then, they can manage.
I they call America.
They call Lagos, call Ogudu. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. Are we blessed? Clap your hands for Jesus. Number one, sex in the home. Marriage. Blessed are the couple that they don't have struggle in this area. Let me put it like this. Now, the blessing is that this is the blessing of a couple. When, you see, when it comes to sex life, there are two types of people. There are those ones who are hot and those who are cold. They call them HDP and LDP. That's high desire partner and low desire partner. Now, when low desire partner meets a low desire partner, is heaven on earth. Come bury sex. Oh no, bury sex to where? No. Come on, Lord. Come on, no. Come on, bad. Come on. They don't have, not so much anger there. Now, also, when you have high desire partner from Calabar, sorry for mentioning name, and then high desire partner from wherever, whoa, they have sparks and fire in their home, they get together. But majority of us, we marry as low desire partner, marry high desire partner. It can either be male or female for each. Some of you guys, I know you are laughing now. Some of you, you think because she dressed very well, she's good on the bed. So you marry her now, and you want to go say Farabalejo. But first one, like, Madame Elamu. Then Jokeji, Farabalejo. We need some headache. Then third day, you see, as a husband, even Christ rose on the third day. You know, let's just start the year, quite good. Even Christ rose on the third day. So, but, he didn't die forever. Now, let's read some few things. Let me tell you something else. Let me tell you something. I close like this. Why did God put sex in marriage? God put sex in marriage as that paradise that we can escape to in the midst of all the hassles on this life. Now, usually, let me say some few things that will help us. Usually, because ladies in Nigeria, particularly Southwest, they are circumcised, so they don't enjoy sex quite well. Now, second, usually, men don't take the time to help ladies arrive. You know, do we know that? Pastor, what's that? Go to school. You see, a lot of time, sex has been defined as the man's food, give it to him. And that's wrong. And can I even surprise you? The older women get, the more desirous they get. Unlike men. When they get to their 40, 50, 60, they wanted more than what they were getting when they were younger. Are you hearing me? And so, we must know how to negotiate this era. But let's close, read the Bible and close. Are we ready? I don't have time because I'm already overspending my time. Should I say more? Yeah. But let's use the Bible to handle it and close it. Now, see, please, can I say this to you? Sex is one of the biggest issues in our world today, if not the biggest issue, aside money. And sex is becoming so unruly that the only way to keep your home is be satisfied at home. I'm sorry to tell you this. A woman, if you are denying your husband, today they have options. They have to be really godly not to choose. There are ladies at work around that walk up to them and ask them out. And you will say, I'm married. Say, I know you are married. So you just can't come around and say, nah, you want to let me rule. You know, I was telling my wife some weeks ago, that some women, I gave them some wrong advice before. When they were fighting their husband, then they said, pack out too. Later, who will pay the school fees of the children? Then I came to see the Bible says, whatever God has joined together, if you discover that your husband is having somebody outside or your wife outside, fight for your home. Thank you for that, yeah. Fight for your home. You can, even if the girlfriend walk up to you and said, I am befriending your husband, say, you are outside, I'm married to him, this is my house, and you're going to get out, you're going to leave. I won't fight my husband, I'll feed him well, I'll take care of him, and he'll forget you. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. But don't go home and say, hey, your name is alone. Hear me? Let's settle it at the beginning of the year. You should have sex calendar. If you know you won't remember, put it on.
Pastor, how can you be saying that on Sunday morning?
1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Let's close. Message Bible. Let's just read. Sorry, Shola. Sorry. We've taken our time. Now, getting down to the questions you ask in your letter to me. First, is it a good thing to have sexual relations or to have sex? Look at next verse. I love this. Certainly, you should have sex, but only within a certain context. It's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong. Some people don't believe that when they are low desire partner. To be honest with you, some people don't know. I remember when I was a young person, I don't know if you remember Drum Magazine. Probably remember Drum Magazine. And I read about a lady who had such a strong sexual desire that she just wanted to sleep with men. Are you hearing me? Now, she needed to have an explosive husband, high desire partner to take care of her. And let's not say that today. Let's close that one. But marriage should be strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. You know, the way, even psychologically, they came to see that sex is the most powerful way to come to accord. Our old mommy and daddy, our foremothers, they know that you ask your husband for things after sex. When they want to do that big thing in their lives, they either arrange food and sex or sex and then ask their, they don't just come like this, take their phone and say, hey, big boy, send me 1 million. And bo. But when they just had it, we had a beautiful time together, send me 1 million, say 1.5 million, I'll send it to you. Balance and fulfilling sexual life you will have as a married people today, this year in Jesus' name.
Pastor, but I can become pregnant.
Do some family planning.
Pastor, I don't know where. See my wife. She will give you all the information. I really don't feel like.
What about when you ask your husband going outside, don't call me. Oh. Next verse. Quickly. The marriage bed must be a place of mutuality. The husband seeking to satisfy his wife. The wife seeking to what? Satisfy her husband. The marriage bed is not a place of business. Oh, for me, no, no. Oh, for me, no, jeta. Alej, waje, wabari ya. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. Let's be with our love unconditional in that area. That can, remember Esther? I mean, the king made a law and said, you're going to destroy all the Jews. What does he do? He said, you king, you stupid idiot. That's what you did to my predecessor. No. Next verse, quickly, let's round up. Marriage is not a place to stand up for your right. Marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out. Now, they mention Satan in the next verse. Take a look. Next verse, quickly, my time is up. Abstaining from sex is permissible for a period of time if you both agree to it. That's why I don't encourage churches where 100 days fast. And they put aside their wives. In these churches, talking about a lot of these pastors are doing adultery because their wives are always on fast. For the convention 30 days. For the conference, 25 days. For the annual divine movement of God, 120 days. But for what come? Are you okay? Okay. Do you know I had a mess in the town in Ayetoro? The pastor told me publicly. He said there was this pastor who go to the mountain all the time. Mountain all the time. And he had 3 or 4 children. And one day, the rich man in town came to the house and said, I'm here to take my children's custody. What? Everybody said, what? He was on the mountain. The wife was hungry. Where will she go? Women need to have good things of life. They should have. That's why we be meant to work. And then the man was not there. And then the rich man, Alalaji, started going out with Alalaji and got 3 kids. Pastor didn't have time to be in town. He's already on Monday. He had holy children on the Monday. You know why? And if it's for the purpose of prayer and fasting, but only for such times, then come back together again. Satan has an ingenious way of tempting us when we least expect it. Satan was mentioned in the area of sex. Don't let him have a way there. Are we blessed? God bless you for hearing me. Thank you for coming. God bless you, little girl. Hallelujah. Let's give our